message you're about listening to is a sermon by Bishop George Adjiman, the General Overseer of Winners Chapel, Ghana. Be encouraged, inspired, and uplifted as he brings the word of life to your spirit and soul.
Bring you a message I have titled, The Picture of a Christian Family. How does a Christian family look like? When you look at a Christian family, what are you expected to see? And I want to read a passage that forms the foundation of family life, the foundation of marriage, which also leads to family life. And I want to read a passage that is very familiar with you, a passage that to many of us here, we don't even have to open our Bibles and yet we know what is there. And I read Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis and chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, please take note who is talking. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. This is what God is saying about man. It is not good that he should be alone. And God offered to make a helper comparable to man for him. All the thoughts, all the creation of the Lord God. So man is a beneficiary of that which God has instituted. I always say marriage and family life is an institution ordained by God, but practiced by man. The foundation of marriage and the family life is God. And honestly, sincerely, any man that is not in tune with God will have challenges with the practice of marriage and family life. It takes the Spirit of God dwelling in you for you to be able to handle effectively the issues of marriage and family life. We should not treat it as a social event. We should not treat it as a cultural event. We should not treat it in any way, but to see it that it takes the Spirit of God to be able to practice marriage and to have a family life. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. This is the formation of the institution of marriage and family. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, the man, and he slept, and he slept. How God formed the woman is outside of the comprehension of man, because he was sleeping. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. God made a woman out of the rib. God made a woman. A woman is directly from the handiwork of God. And it is good that men appreciate that. Woman is the craftsmanship of God. So man needs to appreciate that and accord the due respect, because woman is the creation of God. Verse 23. Okay, let me read 22. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and the Lord God brought the woman he had made to the man. So literally, God solved the problem of man being alone by causing him to sleep and then taking a rib and making a woman and presenting the woman to the man. See the respect God has for man. That even when God was creating the woman, the man was asleep. And yet when God finished, he by himself presented the woman, a creation of his hands, unto the man. Verse 23, then Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Full acceptance of what God had presented unto him. Full acceptance. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Respect. Acknowledging the source of the woman. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Verse 25 goes into further details of what that one flesh means. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So anytime a man becomes naked with one that is not his wife, he's a shameful human. He indulges in an act that is shameful. He indulges in an act that is not respected by God. He becomes a problem giver and not a solution maker. Individual citizens, communities, societal groupings, the media, governments of nations, all these groups that I have mentioned here have one thing in common. They seek to fix the problems and the challenges of this life. But oftentimes, in many cases, the root of the challenges of life is neglected. The citizens, the communities, the societal groupings, media, governments of nations, all address the fruits of the challenges and the problems instead of going down to the root where all these stem from. The root of the challenges and the problems and the difficulties of this life is that of the family. Because the communities, the societal groupings, media, government, they all comprise individual families. So when attention is paid to families, attention is paid to the community. Attention is paid to general society. Attention is paid to the nation. When each and every one of us pay attention to our families, when families are not healthy, the nations are not healthy. It's a plain fact. When families are not healthy, then the nations are not healthy. For us here, it is good for us to know that with God, whom we have identified as the source, as the creator of marriage and family, with him, proper consultation with him, proper interaction with him will give us direction as to how to handle the challenges of life. It is in this regard that I want us to look at some very basic principles. And the first thing I want you to know is that a Christian family is developed or has to be developed in the proper atmosphere. Marriage, family life, is not only social. Marriage, family life, is not only cultural or traditional. Marriage, family life, is not a display of wealth, of cars, of beautiful ladies, of no. It's not a display of how much wine, how much can be displayed for no. A Christian family has to be developed within the proper atmosphere. Now, what is the proper atmosphere for the development of a Christian family? And I will use an illustration that many of us understand well, an illustration that every one of us ought to understand. All the women understand, some men do, some men don't. When a woman, a wife, conceives a child, the process of the development of a human being has begun. Is that or not so? The moment a wife conceives and carries a pregnancy, the process of the formation of another human has begun. And the first 9 months of this process is done internally, not subjected to any external issues, because there has to be an absolute concentration on the development of the fetus, we call. There does not have to be any external thing. When a woman is pregnant, she is considered most fragile, most to be cared for and attended to, most many, many things a woman that is not pregnant will do. When a woman becomes pregnant, if the husband is understanding, will take care of so many things because of the precious child that is in her. That is taking, there isn't anything external. Now, internally, the seed, the fetus, is kept in a fluid. Fluid, we call water. Medically, there could be other names, but we all know that when a woman becomes pregnant, there is water stored in her tummy. It is inside the water that the baby picks all the nutrients and life and everything. One of the things that shows that a woman that has carried the pregnancy to term, that shows that the child is ready to be born, is when the water in her tummy begins to come out. All right. The moment the water begins to come out, the child must come out. Otherwise, the child stands the chance of not surviving. Is that correct? The water, they said, once the water sac breaks, then the child must come. Because that is the environment within which the child was breaking. So the moment the water sac breaks and the water comes out, there isn't any healthy atmosphere for the child to develop any longer. So the child must come out. So the formation of a child is kept inside and kept within the fluid. It is in that same way that families must also be developed within the proper fluid atmosphere. We must understand these things. Now, what is the proper atmosphere within which a family, within which a marriage, let's begin with a marriage, within which a marriage is cultivated? It is cultivated in the fluid called love. And love is the nature of God. The Bible says God is love. All right? So for you to practice a marriage that is successful, it has to be within the atmosphere of God. Outside God, there will not be any proper development of marriage and the family life. Unfortunately, many of us didn't learn about marriage from God. Many of us didn't learn about marriage, about family life from God, who is love, the atmosphere within which the institution of marriage and family life should be developed. Many of us. Let me pinpoint 3 areas that many of us are likely to have learned about marriage and about family life. The first area that many of us picked anything about marriage and family life from is the family we grew up from, the family you were born into. That is where many of us, as we were growing, we were observing and we were learning, and we were copying, and we were following. If you were born into a family where husband has more than one wife, you are likely to grow to know that that is how it is. It may not come out of your mouth, but you say, even my father married four. So if I marry three, what have I committed? Is that possible? Yeah. Because that is the environment within which we learned about marriage. If your father is very abusive of his wife, which is your mother, it is very, very likely you are going to grow to repeat that. It is very, very likely you are going to grow to put a woman down. And unfortunately, it may not even be limited to only your family, the woman in your family, but you may take it outside too. That is where we learn family life from. When I was growing up, I didn't even grow up in my nuclear family. My father was so sold to his career that at some point in his life, he decided, I wasn't there when the decision was being made, or I wasn't part. He decided that the children are so young, so instead of following him all the places, it's good the children go to the village. And so I left my father and my mother, and I went to the village to join my grandmother. I'm one of the people brought up by my grandmother. I'm one of the people that didn't really have any serious connection with my father. I'm one of the very general people. Our root is the community root. And that is, when I was growing up, neither did I even see nuclear family and all of those. Neither did I see any prosperous family. I didn't see any. I saw all my uncles, that is my mother's brothers, I saw all of them staying in the house, marrying from whether they even married or didn't marry, we don't know. And then in the evening, the woman from wherever, they will bring food in a plastic basket, you know, that rubber basket. And then we are happy because we are eating from this one, we are eating from that one, we are eating from that one. And we were happy. And that is what I knew about marriage. Apart from learning about marriage and family life from the family that we grew from, we also learn about marriage and family life from friends. I mean, take a person like me. Look at where I'm growing from. So when I grow up and I have friends, and I happen to have friends that have married, whatever they say is the right one. And some develop the bond. There are so many marriages that the men develop bonds with their friends stronger than they have bonds with their wives. Some men would prefer to go out and hang out with the boys at the detriment of the development of their homes. Some men will spend the resources meant for the development of the family with friends outside. And you can imagine that is where they discuss family life. When a man is with friends at the club he receives a call from the wife, "Where are you?" "Say, I'm hanging out with the boys. Would you please come home?" And say, "Actually, I just received a call from my wife. He said I should come." "Ta, woman's boy. You mean at this age too, it's your woman that is directing you what to do and what not to do?" Then they begin to talk. And some men, that is where they learn how to relate with their spouses from friends, hanging out at the clubs. A third area that possibly we learn about marriage and family life is the media. You see, the media is an expanded form of the friends that we have. The media will talk about what they feel is newsworthy, promoting their business, and so they will begin to talk. Never mindful of what God has said, God, the creator of the homes, and then the societal pressures, the peer pressures. Now we add the media pressure, all come to exert upon family life. And in all of these three areas, oftentimes God is neglected. God is downplayed. God is downplayed. God is downplayed, or God is totally neglected. Let's go back to Psalm 128 and let's read from verse 1 to 3. 128, Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is every man who fears the Lord. See, the foundation God is laying. Blessed is every man, everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in the ways of God. So God is giving a parameter. God is giving the limits of the atmosphere within which the marriage and the family life should be developed. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Verse 2, when you eat the labor of your hand, when you concentrate on that which assignment which he has given unto you, when you nurture your family, when you nurture your marriage, so when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy. So many men are not happy. So many women are not, so many husbands are not happy. So many wives are not happy. So many wives cry in the night. The only place many come to and kind of shed off the burdens and the troubles of marriage and home and everything is when they come to sit here. But the scripture says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Say amen to that. So there are things that we need to labor ourselves in. Let's begin. Where must we begin this labor of our hands? Verse 3. Verse 3 starts with what? Your wife. Verse 3 starts with what? Your wife. Which means he's talking to who? He's talking to the husband. All right? Straight away. If we must talk anything marriage, if we must talk anything family, we must start with the man. Genesis 2:18, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make for him a helper. And the helper that came is the woman. So when it comes to setting the tone for the development of homes, for the development of marriage, for the development of families, it starts with the man. Are there men in the house? Are there men in the house? Yeah. He says, your wife, which means God in verse 1 and verse 2 was talking generally to the congregation, like I'm standing and talking to all of us here. But when he got to verse 3, he said, husbands, listen. Husbands. All right. So verse 3, your wife, not your girlfriend, not your concubine, not your, I think now there's a term they call side chick. Side chick, eh? Those of you that know, please just correct me. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children like olive plants all around your table. Verse 3, again, your wife, so he's addressing husbands, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. We will look at that. In the very heart of your house, and your children like olive plants all around your table. Now let's break down verse 3. Let's look closely at this. Probably we'll pick things that will be sufficient for us to close the service. The first thing is that verse 3 begins with the man as the focus. God is addressing the man. God is addressing the husband because this is the root of marriage. This is the root of family life. The man. A man, the husband, is responsible for setting the tone by which his family functions. It is the responsibility of a husband. The husband provides the framework. Look, when a house is being built, I have seen some story buildings that they just concentrate on the pillars, the columns, and then they go high up. All right? They will do the base, and they will raise the pillars, and then they will go and do the flooring, and then they will raise the pillars again, and then raise the second flooring, and raise the pillars, and go a third flooring, all without cement, without blocks. And then when they have finished that, then they begin to put in the blocks. Here, the man is the concrete pillars. The woman is the completion of the house. The blocks that you get the point. The structure must be there, solid. That is where you need the structural engineers and all of. The structural engineers are very particular about the columns. They are very particular about how you lay the floors and all of the. They don't quite supervise when blocks are being filled in. All they do is to supervise the quality of the block, and then you fix it in, and then you go your way. Have you seen the kind of houses being built? They do only the structural, they call it the structural work. They do only the concrete work. They do the pillars and all, and then lay the floor, and then go up and lay the floor and go up. And then when they have finished, then they begin to put in blocks. As for putting in the blocks, cheap cry. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon by Bishop George Adjiman. We hope you have been blessed. To get more of this podcast, log on to our website www.winnersghana.org. You can also follow his handle at Bishop George Adjiman on Facebook and SoundCloud. God richly bless you.